The book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 30. To be the starting point, verse 30 of Exodus 25. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we think of these tremendous words of thine, that those Old Testament priests were to set bread before the Lord. And Father, this morning we are met here with what we know is the spiritual bread of God, the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, first of all, we open it and set it before thee, for this is thy word, and it glorifies thee. But Lord, this morning, help us to take in thy word. Help us to feed upon it. Oh, break thou the bread of life to us today, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. We're now in the holy place, living in the holy place, we could call it now, or dwelling in the holy place, the Christian life as it ought to be lived, leaving the brass, the judgment of sins. Now we're coming in to what it is to fellowship with God, to commune with the Lord. Remember Psalm 24 says, who shall dwell in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. And we talked about that last week. So we're in this place of dwelling with God. And we've got these three items. These three items. The table. The altar of incense. A lampstand. Because there's no natural light there. They only had light from the lampstand. And all three are linked. All three are linked. And keep that in mind as you think about what it means to dwell in the holy place with God day by day. Our feet are upon the earth. Have to be. We're in this world. But our minds can feed upon Christ and see the Lord and his beauty. And there is a link between them. You see, as you come to pray, you get light from the Holy Spirit to pray. And as the Holy Spirit pours out the Spirit of grace and supplication, it says in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit leads you what to pray for. You're praying. You can then feed upon his word. Or change it around the other way. As you feed upon God's word, you're shown things for which you ought to pray. Altar of incense. And what's one of the main things for which we ought to pray? The fullness of the Holy Spirit and his light and guidance in our life. So there's a great link between all three. We could speak about that, and it's brought out often in Scripture, the link that there is between these three items. But we're coming here to verse 30. First of all, I want you to notice the table. The table. I know you're far away and can't see the picture of it here, but it was a table about 2.5 feet high. It had four legs on it, as most tables do, and it had little rings on each of the four legs, and poles or staves would go through them, so that the priests could carry it with them. For during the 40 years in the desert, this building would be taken down on occasions. Sometimes they stayed for months, one time almost a year, we know. And everything was brought away, so the table was carried. But that's the idea, this table here. Now, what do you do at a table? Eat. You eat at a table. What else do you do at a table when you're eating? Well, often you meet with family, with friends, and you have a time of fellowship. You chat, you talk, and you get to know each other. That's a table. That's why we talk about the Lord's table. And sometimes we call it communion. See the thought? We have communion at a table. We fellowship. And of course, there's many pictures of that in Scripture. Didn't the Lord say in the book of Matthew, chapter 8 and 11, he said, heaven is going to be a sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about we're going to eat with them. Do you know heaven's a place of eating? It says about in the book of Revelation as well. Food. And the Lord Jesus Christ actually said a tremendous verse in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, I think it is. He said, the Son of Man will gird himself and shall serve his people, his servants. Isn't that amazing? In heaven, the Lord will give us the spiritual food. We don't know all the details of heaven, but it's a place of sitting at the Lord's table. Didn't we sing that in the first hymn? at his table. That's our place. Sometimes heaven is pictured as the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you do with a supper? You sit. You sit at the table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a wonderful, wonderful picture this is. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 21 also said, come and dine. Come and dine. He said in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he said he would come in and he would eat with us, sup with us. These are just a few verses about fellowshipping with the Lord at his table. Now look at this table in verse 23 and 24. Look at the substance of it. Look at the substance of it. Verse 23, this table's made of this wood we talked about, incorruptible wood. Didn't we point out before, just to remind you, I believe it speaks about his humanity. His humanity, his perfect man, the branch, the root out of a dry ground. And then it goes on to say in verse 24, overlay it with pure gold. And there you have two different substances, gold and wood. Gold speaks of glory, deity in Scripture, heavenly. The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he's perfect man, but he's also God. And as our catechism very well puts it, two natures but one person. It's one table, but two different substances. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's one person, but he's God and man. Wasn't it man became God or God became man? Man and God. We could speak a lot about that. But let's hurry on. It says here, the table. And then it goes on to say, here the size of the table. Do you see that? The size of it. It gives you these measurements, all it says, about 2.5 feet high, 3 feet long. And of course, a table was for setting something on it. Bread. 12 loaves of bread. We'll get to that later. So here's the table, and it's lifting the bread up where it can be seen, where it can be easily got when the priests would eat it. It's there. And what is this bread representing? Well, I have no doubt it represents this book. But it also represents Christ. Do you remember in John 6:35, the very day after the Lord fed the 5,000 and the people came back? Do you know what he told them? You're only seeking me for free bread, physical bread. He said, don't labor for that bread that perishes, but for eternal things. And he said, I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. He said, I am the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never hunger. He that eats, how can you eat the Lord? Later on he said to them, except you eat of me, you've no life in you. Now, of course, you know the Roman Catholic Church has the blasphemy of the Mass where they say the bread turns into the actual body of Christ. Nonsense, of course. What does it mean to eat Christ? What does it mean to feed upon Christ? How can a man be bread? Well, the Lord said in verse 63 of chapter 6 of John, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is called, he called himself, I am the bread of life. This book in many places is called bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of God. What does that mean? He's God in flesh. When he walked upon this earth, everything he said is God. He's God and man. So he's incarnate. He's become flesh. He's the incarnate word. This Bible, we call it the inspired word. It's God breathed. This is not a normal book. Talked a bit about that at the labor. It's not a normal book. It's the book. So when we are going to look at this table, and this table, we're looking at the size of it, lifted these 12 loaves. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is speaking about the word of God being bread to us. So am I speaking about Christ as the bread of life or of the Scripture? Yes. You can't separate them. You cannot separate Christ, the incarnate bread, from the Bible, the inspired bread. You see, the only way you feed upon Christ is through his word. That's how you feed upon Christ. As the Holy Spirit, remember the lampstand, opens up this book, you see Christ. and you're unable to feed upon him. You see, feeding upon Christ, while it is something mysterious in one sense that the Holy Spirit makes the Bible live and we see Christ, it's not some mystical meditation of just letting your mind wander. It's not some type of Buddhist, Hindu, transcendental meditation nonsense. No, no. It's getting a passage from the Word of God, the living bread of Scripture, and feeding upon the Savior through the Word. That's so important to keep in mind. So we've looked at the size of this, and look at the setting around it in verse 25. It's interesting. We're thinking of the table. The table, I believe, represents Christ. It had a border of an hand breadth, and then it speaks of a golden crown, and if you look carefully, there's actually two golden crowns on it. Two golden crowns. You read through those verses. There was actually, and I know you're too far away to see it here, it doesn't bring it out well, but if you look at a good illustration, it had this border like a crown right round the outside, and then there was a hand's breadth, and you had another border inside. Now, what was the border for? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It stopped the bread falling off, didn't it? Do you ever sit at the table and you knock something and it falls? Of course we have. But this had a border, an edge. And it was two crowns. Our Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with glory and honor. And that hand speaks of sovereign power, God's hand, his mighty hand often in Scripture. What's this teaching us? Well, I believe it's representing to us here. This precious Word of God is protected by God's almighty power. He protects this book. Men have tried to destroy it. They mock it. They deride it. But this book's still here because God protects his word. Forever his word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. It's protected by the mighty word of God, the word of God. Look at verse 29. There's an interesting thing. There are serving pieces with it. Maybe you're wondering what this is about. The dishes and spoons and covers and bowls. And note, they're all of pure gold. Glory. Deity. Heavenly. We'll get to what the spoons and all were used for. It's used for frankincense, just tell you that, but we'll get to it. All these utensils that were linked to the table, each tribe gave a golden bowl and so on. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 4. And then it talks about these staves. I'm just going through the table so you get it in your mind. There are staves in it. In verse 26, four rings on the four legs of it. Four corners. And there were staves went through it in verse 27. You see that they might bear it. Now this is tremendous. We're saying that this table, God was teaching them by object lesson that it's Christ. Yes, Christ is in glory. But the gold symbolizes glory. But you know, Christ is still our prophet. And he feeds us. Yes, himself through the word. He becomes bread to the Christian. And when you are living in the holy place, dwelling in this holy place, you're in fellowship with God. And you can be strengthened by Christ. It's a real experience. You can feed upon Christ as bread. You need food to strengthen you. You'll die. Hunger strike. You'll soon die. You can't go on living without some food intake. Bread, the staff of life. And what is teaching us here in your Christian life, to be strengthened, to be satisfied, you need to feed. And you can when you get into the holy place. The Holy Spirit will enable you to feed upon Christ. It was carried. I wish it time to turn to Numbers 4. I turned for time. But you know in Numbers 4, you'll read how they carried it. Yes, these poles went through made of gold and so on. But they put the utensils on top and they kept the bread on the table. You remember there was an edge, wouldn't fall off. And then they wrapped a cloth around it of blue. Heavenly. And then they wrapped another cloth around it of scarlet, speaking of the blood. Because this is a blood-sprinkled book. It's a heavenly book. And then they put the badger skin around it. And then they carried it. But here's a wonderful thought. Everywhere they went in the wilderness, the table went with them.
As we go through the pilgrimage of our life, Christian, thank God the Word of God's always there for you. Christ is always near, and you can always feed upon Him, always with Him. The table, have you got the picture of the table? It speaks about Christ always with us. When you dwell in the holy place, you can know the Savior, fellowshipping with Him at His table. But look at verse 30, the second thing, not only the table, but the showbread. There's bread. What about this bread then? This is an amazing study. There's bread on the table. And I want you to notice it's before me. It's before God. This Word of God, it's God's book. It's before the Lord. And as we meditate upon it this morning, and when you're fellowshipping with the Lord, even in your own time with God, remember you're before Almighty God. When you open this book at home, I trust you do, you're doing it before God, because it's His book. It's His book. It's called, by the way, in other places, continual bread, for it was always there. It's called in another place, hallowed bread. Of course, in many of your Bibles, doesn't it say on the cover, Holy Bible? It's a holy book. Hallowed bread. Special bread. Sanctified bread. Well, let's turn over to Leviticus 24 to look at the bread. And these are just wonderful pictures of how Christ provides for us and what it means to live in the holy place with God. Here's what we're studying. And I want you to notice particular in verse 9. Verse 9 of Leviticus 24. Speaking of the bread, it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it. That's the bread in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. I want you to notice the people for whom it was for, Aaron and his sons, priests. Do you remember we talked about the laver last week? That's the Word of God judging. We're not talking about the Word of God judging us now. We're talking about the Word of God feeding us. Who could experience what it was to eat this bread? Only chosen priests. Who is it can feed upon this book? Only those who are saved, and only those who are in fellowship with Him, who have come into the holy place dwelling with Him. Otherwise, you can't understand this book. Oh, you could study how many verses and different subjects in it, but it'll never be food to your soul unless you're saved. That's the point we're making. This is an experience for true believers who are living in the holy place with God. In other words, a backslider, the Word of God isn't living to them. They may turn the pages, but it's just barren to them. It's not feeding them. It's not feeding them. This is an experience of the believer in fellowship with God. And you know what's amazing? There were two rows of six loaves. Two sixes make 12. Many tribes were there? 12. I know it's only the priests ate it, but surely the 12 is signifying there's enough in this word for every believer. Every believer can come to this book. And you can be fed and strengthened in your Christian life when you come to this book. But very importantly in verse 9, the place they ate it. Look where they had to be. I know we're in a sense underlining what we've said already. But look, verse 9, they shall eat it in the holy place. Believer, if you're not in that place where you have no unconfessed sins. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is pointing out you did this, you were, and you're not repenting of it and forsaking it. You can't feed. You have to be in that place of fellowship with God. What is this holy place? It's the place of going by the altar, justified, converted. Oh, if you're unsaved this morning, listen, yes, you may know about the Bible, and do read it because it'll tell you how to be saved. It'll warn you that there's a hell to shun. So therefore, you ought to read it and study it. Because it'll show you of Christ the Savior. But as regards feeding your soul, it's only a believer. That's the point we're making. It's only when you get into that place. What is that place? It's a place of separation from the world. Getting alone with God. Remember, the world's shut out. It's the place of contemplation. Contemplating all these things here that speak of Christ. It's the place of communion with God. It's the place of illumination from the lampstand. You come and you open your Bible, you say, Holy Spirit, Open mine eyes that I may behold wonderful things in thy law. It's only the Holy Spirit, his light, can enable you to feed upon this word and to feed upon Christ. It's the place of intercession, the altar. When you get alone with God in the holy place, you're praying, Lord, meet me. Lord, open your word. Teach me thy word. Do you see the place? It's interesting, in verse 6, it's called the pure table. I think that's wonderful, the pure table. Oh, the purity. We can't come and feed if we have sin upon our lives. It's called the golden table and the golden place. Oh, praise God. You remember Jeremiah? He was told to take the scroll and eat it, and it became sweet. You remember the psalmist? The psalmist, he said, the word of God, it's sweeter than honey. And he fed upon it. It's like food to my soul. Notice they ate it on the Sabbath day. Isn't that interesting? In the verse. They laid it in the holy place. And then it goes on in earlier verse 8. Every Sabbath. Every Sabbath. Now, the word of God is bread to you any time in this New Testament age. But I believe the emphasis here is on this. When the people of God gather on the Lord's day and we come to open his book, God gives a special blessing. Through his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to feed upon the word. That's why we love to go, come to God's house and feed upon him. I want you to notice verse 5. I know we're going through fairly quickly here, but we're just setting these thoughts out before you. Look at verse 5 for the preparation of the bread. Thou shalt take fine flour. Now, we're speaking to you ladies who I'm sure know how to bake. What do? You get the flour. Fine flour. They have to get. Now, where do they get the flour? Well, you have to grind the corn or the wheat. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last public sermon that he gave before he went to Calvary, you know what he talked about in John 12? That he was the corn of wheat. And he wouldn't abide alone, but would go into the ground and bring forth the harvest. Christ described himself as a corn of wheat. How does Christ become bread to us? Because Christ was ground. He was crushed. He was bruised. That's how you get flour. You get fine flour because you sift the flour. You sift the flour. Wife testified a few Sunday nights ago when Winston took ill. Of course, we'll have him one of these weeks. Now that he's out of hospital. She didn't tell you about the flour. We used to have big tins of flour. And you opened it with a screwdriver. But even then, the weevils would get into it. You know, a wee insect. And you'd look in, it was supposed to be white. But there was these wee black dots, and sometimes they'd fly out at you. So you sieved it. Of course, after your first term, they used to say a second term missionary, they would just cook it with it. I'm sure it would kill them anyway. Third term missionary, they just threw away the flour and ate the weevils. But you sift the flour. You all know what a sift is. Of course, some missionaries thought we'll be healthy and we'll get the wholemeal flour. You couldn't see the weevils in it. But anyway, just go ahead and eat. No, cooking. You sift. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sifted by Satan. Oh, the force of satanic temptation. But thank God he was proved to be fine flour. No unevenness in his character. The fine flour. But how do you make bread? Look at verse 5. And bake. And bake. You don't get the flour and mix the water and then start to eat the dough. No, you don't sit and eat the cold dough, roll it. No, you bake it. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is bread to us. How? Because he was sifted by Satan to prove that he's sinless. And then at Calvary, he was baked in the oven of God's wrath. Yes, in those hours of darkness, the fire of God fell upon him. And he, as it were, as you ladies know, you put the bread into the oven, into the heat. The Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily, he who said he was the corn of wheat, he who was sifted and bruised, he went into the very flames and the fire of the heat of God's wrath against our sin. And thank God, he became bread. He saved us. Wonderful picture here, isn't it? Baking it, baking it. But look at verse 7. And they shall put pure frankincense upon each row. Remember, we talked about the little spoons and so on. Each tribe over in Numbers, It talks about the head of prince of each tribe brought spoons and so much frankincense. Frankincense, remember, given to the Savior when he was born. It's a sweet spice. And they put this sweet spice. I suppose I hadn't thought of it, but you know these bread you get sometime with that white icing upon it? You know that bread? Isn't that nice? I haven't had one in years, but anyway. It's not good for you if you're diabetic. isn't it lovely? Does it add something to it when you have that beautiful icing on top, does it? Come on, you don't have it. Oh, you're all good eater. You don't. They put a sweet frankincense. Oh, the sweetness of our Savior. When you come and feed upon Christ and commune with Him and His Word, my, there's a sweetness. When you meet with the Lord, what a wonderful, sweet experience. You can't really express it. Do you see what this bread is? You need bread to live, or if not bread, meat, food. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, in the Christian life, how are you going to live the Christian life? Get into the holy place, living in the holy place, dwelling in the holy place. And you know what happens when you're there? God can take a portion of this word just when you need it. In the pilgrimage of life, when things get difficult and the trials come and the heartaches and the temptations, and the Holy Spirit can take a verse, a passage, a phrase, and He can bring it to you, and you get that maybe in the morning. It doesn't have to be 16 chapters, although it's good to study God's Word, of course. But to get a thought into your mind and chew it over. What's happening? The Holy Spirit enables you to feed upon the Word. And of course, you see, it's all in Christ. For all the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. Oh, thank God for the power of the Word of God. Thinking this message, I remember quite a number of years ago in Armagh, I got a phone call late on a Saturday afternoon for the group that's called The Word. The services on a Saturday night in a mission hall there near Moira, preaching it every year. And they wondered, it was actually Stanley Barnes was that asked him, the speaker couldn't come. I said, well, I've not much time, I'm doing something at the minute, but well, I'll fill in if they need me to. So I preached just what I'd preached the Sunday morning. And we'd preached on Jacob. I'd noticed that Jacob in Genesis 35... he came back to the Lord in Bethel, and in that chapter there were three funerals. He stood at the graveside of the nurse Deborah, and he named it the Oak of Weeping. Oh, he mourned at the grave. It's right, Christian, to mourn at the grave. But then he buried his wife, and he marked the grave. He put a pillar. And then after that, in the last verses, his father died, and he met at the grave because he and Esau... remember Jacob and Esau were enemies? They met around their father's grave and they buried their father, the two men. It's always good for families to unite at a funeral. And there they stood at the grave together. And then I pointed out the greatest thing for Jacob was he was back in the place of fellowship, in the holy place, if you like. And therefore, as he mourned at the grave and marked his wife's grave and met with his brother at the grave of their father, the mediator was with them. The Savior was with him. After the service, there was always a cup of tea, and this man and his wife, I knew his sister, she used to work in the Whitfield College of the Bible, and they were talking. The man said, oh, it's an encouragement. I never heard anybody bring that out before. Never heard about so many funerals bearing up under bereavement and so on. He said, I think that's for somebody. That's for somebody. And apparently they talked about it when they were going home, the three of them. Sunday afternoon, I had a call from Stanley. He said, one of my members has just been with me, called at the house. He said, his father was there last night as you preached, and he preached about bereavement. His mother was telling him that you preached about bereavements and how even this morning on the way to the assembly, he's a brethren, on the way to the assembly, he said to his wife, you know, that message is for somebody. That message was encouraging somebody. He got up at the communion, the Lord's table, and I was told he got up and he took the bread to pass it round. And the son who went to Hillsborough Free came to see Stanley and said, would you pass on that my mother, just a short time after her husband had gone into eternity, would you pass on to him how much that word last night prepared our family for his passing? That wasn't anything I said. It's the Word of God. The Word of God does that. Do you know anything about this? The Word of God feeding you. Then I thought of a lady, we were in Carrick there last year, and we met this lady's daughter. I remember the time her husband took ill. He was told he had, 3 or 6 months, certainly it was a good number of months, but he had come home. And I remember the morning early she telephoned us. She said, you know, last night, husband was up in bed and I sat down and I took the Daily Bread book. Some of you, I think, use it. And that reading for that day was all about 2 Corinthians 5. Putting off this tabernacle, getting an eternal home. And I just sat there and thinking over and reading it. I'll not go into the story they had. It was about a man waiting for his wife. She had died and so on. But I just meditated upon it. And the Lord drew near. And I said, I can't go to sleep. And I just went up and sat at my husband's bedside, thinking over that passage of Scripture. And in just a short time, I watched my husband slip away peacefully to meet the Lord. That was the Word of God. Now, everybody doesn't have an experience just like that. But can you not say, Christian, there's times in your life when the Word of God came and Christ was made real to you through the Word? You see, you're to eat it. Says there, you're to eat the bread. You're to partake of it. You notice that in verse 9? You're to eat it. Eat it. Take it. How do you eat it? How do you eat it? Well, I've already said you take the Word of God. You feed upon it. You think upon it. You take it into. You take a piece of bread. You butter it. You swallow it. It becomes part of you. You take this Word. Christ becomes part. My wife mentioned in her testimony a few weeks ago the planned outreach that we had to do in missionary training back there, 69, 70 and so on. We had to go out cold turkey, they called it as well, two students, go out, just stop people in the street or bus station or talk to them. But with planned outreach, she went to the women's prison, she told you, and they used to let her out again. But you don't think that's a surprise. But she used to come home. I thought they'd be keeping her. Well, anyway, better move on. I went to the rescue mission, a place where down-and-outs alcoholics, men who had no, just slept in the cold, and of course it dropped to minus 20 and so on in Milwaukee. And they would come in and they had to listen to a sermon, and then they could get a bed for the night as long as they weren't too drunk. And I remember different people would talk to you. We had to go and preach. Talk about cutting your teeth and preaching. You had about 100 men there. Some of them didn't really want to be there. But two men, I'll never forget, and that's years ago. Immediately the service was over, up they'd come. Is it about how do we get saved? How can the Lord meet our need? How can I be ready for eternity? How can I know that my sins are forgiven? No! Oh, young man, what do you think about Daniel's 10 toes? Do you think they're going to be fulfilled? Do you think this is the common market? Do you think that? And what about that verse over in Zechariah? I was only in my early 20s. I wonder what verse they're talking about. Those men could quote Scripture to you, but they were down and out alcoholics. Word of God had never fed them. See, we're talking about living in the holy place where the Word of God becomes food to your soul and you're strengthened to overcome temptations. I was looking this morning, as we do often, as you come in to the grounds. Aren't the grounds looking lovely? Hasn't Ben been doing a great work with those flowers? Of course, he just says, well, flowers grow themselves. Well, no, they don't. They have to be weeded and all. But aren't they beautiful, those blossoms? And you know what happens with a flower? I heard an illustration. We were in Bible school about the flower, a blossom. You see, a butterfly, you ever see them in the garden? They just flit here from there and everywhere. That's like somebody just takes the word, you know, I'll open it here, I'll open it, you know. And then you have the botanist. Oh, now this is this petal, and this is the stamen, and they'll say no more. Don't know. Well, there's the root, I know the roots, and the stalk, and they tell you all about it. But have you ever seen a bee? The bee comes, and it gets the nectar, gets the food, takes it back, gets something. Oh, do you know what it is to dwell in the holy place with God and come to this book and get food for your soul? And feed upon Christ. Do you feed upon him? Do you read this book? Do you look for Christ? Oh, I think of that man. I'll just tell you very quickly. You'll probably have heard the story. You can read more about it. The man, he was badly burnt, blinded, Christian. This is a long time ago, before you had all these electronic devices. How can I read the word? Somebody says, well, Braille. You know, raised dots. Then he realized his fingers were burnt. He had no feeling. You know what he discovered? He could run his tongue along the raised dots, read the whole Bible with his tongue, but he wanted to feed upon Christ. Oh, do we know what it is to feed upon him, to be strengthened, to work for him, to witness for him? May God teach us to Come to him. Oh, if you're not saved, come to Christ. Don't feed on the husks of this world. May God bless his word to us.